Blog Talk Radio.
Add to the list of sexual predators, Charlie Rose of PBS and CBS. I didn't know he was 75 years old until the story broke. But looking at Charlie Rose, do you think he actually knows what sex is? Did you hear Donald Trump endorsed Roy Moore, the guy who's running for Senate in Alabama? The Alabama Republican voters are saying, sure, he's a religious fanatic and a jackass and a pedophile, but at least he's not a Democrat. And in science news, and I'm not making this up, they've discovered that sheep can recognize differences among human faces and can identify someone they've seen before. Farmer Brown has stated in unequivocal terms that his sheep lies, he had her mother's permission, and he's suing her. When he was running for office, Trump said he'd leave alone or improve Medicare and Medicaid. Now his tax bill cuts both. That's why his voters love him. He tells the truth. Since we last met, David Cassidy has died of liver failure. There's nothing funny to say about that, of course. We just wanted you to know. And Michael Flynn's lawyers have notified the president's lawyers that they'll no longer be sharing information. This suggests that Flynn's cooperating with Mueller's investigation. This, boys and girls, is the end of the beginning. Does the name John Dean, let me try that again, John Dean ring a bell? Speaking of Roy Moore, I was thinking of going down there and running as a write-in candidate. I've got my slogan all picked out. I'm running for the Senate, and I've never sexually abused a woman. All I ask is a chance. Conservative Republican Congressman Joe Barton has been revealed to have sent naked photos of himself to a woman with whom he had a sexual relationship, by his own admission, between his two marriages. Apparently, he never heard of Anthony Weiner, even though he was apparently intimate with a member of Anthony's family. Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, welcome to Speaking of Everything with Jeff Bushman. That's me. Tonight, we'll talk about those stories, this week in history, and future shows, and you can participate as well. The call-in number, and I'll ask you to wait a few minutes before you call in, but then you're welcome to, or call in now, and I'll put you on hold for a few, yes, there it is, 646-668-2953. Repeating that guest call-in number, the caller call-in number, I should say, it's 646-668-2953. Welcome to Speaking of Everything. As I said, this is the first of our new one-hour episodes. We will talk about the president. We'll talk about Roy Moore, Al Franken, Charlie Rose, John Conyers, Kevin Spacey, Joe Barton, I'm sure I've missed, we won't talk about Harvey Weinstein, but in terms of politics, I've probably missed some political actors who have been fairly credibly charged with sexual abuse of people, anyway, that list is getting longer. I'm hoping we haven't missed anybody, but I'm sure I have. I want to say something first about Patreon. If you decide during this presentation you like the program, and why would you, we now have a Patreon page, and you can help support the show if you're so inclined. And you would do that at Patreon, P as in Paul, A T as in Tom, R-E-O-N, patreon.com/Jeff Bushman, Jeff Bushman, one word. Although my parents didn't intend it that way. Anyway, it's patreon.com/Jeff Bushman, and I'll probably mention that one more time during the show. I'm not sure, by the way, we'll go the full hour this evening. It is an hour episode, so we may, but if we don't, we will in the coming weeks, because we have a couple of really neat guests coming up, and we're trying to line up more. Next week, we're going to be speaking with Jennifer Carbocci, who is also known as Ganja Girl. We'll be talking about medical marijuana, and I wanted to urge you to do something in that regard before the show is over, and it has to do with writing to your congressperson, your congressional representative, and or your senator. Also, in 3 weeks, That's right. That would be 1 week from tonight, December 1st, so tune in. And, of course, as you know, you can always hear the program in podcast form after we have broadcast live. If you are hearing this as a podcast, we do a live program on Friday nights at 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, which at this time of year translates to 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 6 p.m. on the West, and I know you can figure out Central Time. In any event, that's the plan. In 3 weeks, I was starting to say before I interrupted myself, in 3 weeks we have as a guest Larry Hancock. Those of you who have listened to our prior programs, particularly the GoingBeyondRadio.com program before GoingBeyondRadio.com folded, Larry was on with some frequency. Great guest, great interview, and an author of now numerous books, starting with books about the Kennedy assassination, and then Dr. King, and he's written about American foreign policy and our secret wars, and he's just got a book coming out now about UFOs and the American military. This will be a fascinating conversation, although if past conversations are an indicator, it will not be the last, even in terms of the near term. We'll probably pick up Larry on another show a couple of weeks after that. But anyway, that's what's ahead. Also want to invite you to call in when you do call in, if anyone decides to call in this evening or next week. If there's some guest or kind of guest you would like to have appear on the show and hear in a conversation with me, please feel free to call in and make your suggestions, or you can send us a note at T as in Tom, J as in Jeff, B as in Bushman, TJBRadio at gmail.com. And that's basically what that's all about. We've got a caller, so let's go ahead and take the caller, calling from the 407 area code. Hello, 407, is that Florida?
Yeah, how you doing?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey,
I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Good, good, good.
Not too bad, man.
What's your name?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you. This is this
happy
is
Thanksgiving
Ed.
Belatedly to you. What is your first name?
This is Ed.
Okay, Ed, hi. What's on your mind?
I was just wondering, do you think Trump's going to get impeached?
Yes. Well, no. Let me change that. Well, first off, let's understand what impeachment is. I understand you recognize, as do all of our other listeners, it's connected to the removal of a president from office. But impeachment is a vote by the House of Representatives by 50% or more, and it's equivalent in criminal law to an indictment. The removal from office, if it were to take place, and it never has, would take place in the Senate. We got close once, and we got another impeachment that didn't go anywhere, but we've never actually removed a president from office through
right.
the impeachment process. But anyway, so in answer to your question, I think he will be on the verge of impeachment and will resign, similar to what occurred with Nixon. That's my opinion, and obviously, you know, I'm no better at predicting the future than anyone
How
else.
How soon do you think that might happen?
Say it again, please.
How soon do you think that might happen?
Well, obviously hard to know, but I would expect it would be after the 2018 election. In the 2018 election, particularly if the House turns, if the Democrats win the House, which is, in my judgment, unlikely, but possible. But even if we just get close, then if in fact we have a majority, it'll happen soon thereafter. If we don't have a majority, it'll happen a little later, because ultimately Republicans will also vote in favor of that impeachment in the House. Opinion. What the real, what's the word I'm looking for, turning point is going to be, outside what I said earlier about Flynn not cooperating with Mueller, the real turning point, I think, is going to be after the tax bill succeeds or fails, and I expect it will fail. After that, he'll have a lot less Republican support.
So you think that it's going to happen by 2019? He'll be gone?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So we'll have
Keeping
Pence
in mind, I could obviously be wrong. Say again, please?
Yeah.
Is it something about Pence?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I apologize.
That's going to be president.
For you. Yeah, Pence will
be
president.
And
Go
Pence
ahead,
will be president. and he'll be running for 2020?
Yeah. And the thing is a lot of people believe, and I'm among them, that he will not have a very easy time winning election should he run in 2020.
Okay. And who do you think the Democrats will put up?
Well, clearly I have no idea. I'm hoping...
Maxine Waters? Do you think Maxine Waters can win?
No. No.
Oh, Maxine Waters not going to win. All right.
No, I don't think so. I don't think she's got a chance in hell. Let me share with you, I love Maxine Waters, okay? But I don't think she has a chance in hell of winning. I think that, frankly, Obama's election, which I was thrilled about, was nonetheless an aberration. Hillary Clinton lost in part because she was a woman. A lot of people don't agree with that, but I can tell you why I think that in a minute if you're interested. But that's not the only reason she lost, very obviously, and even in terms of the Electoral College versus the majority. But part of the reason she lost, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, but obviously, but part of the reason I think she lost is because of her gender.
No, that's a good possibility. I mean, what do you think about all these idiots that are, they're starting to fall down like Al Franken and stuff because they harass women? I mean, women have been harassed for a long time.
Yep. Well, you know, I was listening to Tom Hartman the other day. You ever listen to Tom Hartman on the radio?
Yeah, I've listened.
Okay. He was talking about something which I think is really important, which is, you know, first off, women get harassed, as you said, all the time, and it's been happening for a long time. The reality is that there are women in certain professions, like hotel maids and waitresses, who get hit on and harassed all the time, including, you know, just guys looking at them in their uniforms and looking at them up and down and continuing to look at them up and down salaciously. I mean, every guy looks at women and every woman looks at men. Got that. But it's a question of how you do it and also if you're being intrusive. And a lot of us have been.
Yeah, but intrusive is one thing, but actually groping them?
Groping them obviously goes another level.
That is bad. That is bad. Anybody that's groping them should step down. And, you know, we need to go after all of them, Republicans, Democrats alike.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. What do you think about the Al Franken accusations?
You know, he admitted to them, so, I mean, I don't,
picture. He admitted to taking the picture of himself
Really, it's not my decision. It's really the decision of the voters. And with Moore. It's the decision of the voters. You know, if they want to vote for him, that's what they vote for. You know, it's a shame.
We vote
that direction.
Well, call me again. I will let you go for now. I can't disagree with anything you said. Although it's also the decision of the Senate. But anyway, thanks for calling in, Ed. We'll look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, man. Leave me on mute so I can listen.
Oh, you can listen anyway. Are you tuned
all
into
right.
the?
Well, I'm listening.
Just
put me mute me. I'm on the phone. It's just,
okay. You got it. You got it. You are now muted, I think. Okay, there you go. In the meantime, I wanted to say some things about Al Franken. First off, when you look at the people who have been accused of sexual harassment who are members of the House or Senate, let me tell you, as you might guess, I like Al Franken. I actually like Charlie Rose, who's not a member of Congress, too. But anyway, and I like John Conyers. But with Conyers, I don't know that the accusations are necessarily BS. They may be, but I have no idea. With Al Franken, let's talk about what he was accused of and what he admitted to. He was accused of forcibly kissing this woman whose last name is Whedon. I think it was Leanne Whedon. She is a talk show host on KABC Radio in Los Angeles. That I think has some importance, and I'll come back to it. The other thing is that, is the picture of him looking as if he's groping or is about to grope Ms. Whedon while she was asleep. So let's talk about the picture first. That was juvenile, stupid, one might say infantile, and was in fact abusive. I don't think it was intended as abusive. It was intended as a joke. It was intended to be funny, but as he himself said, it's not funny. And he was also accused more recently of putting his hand on someone's butt at the Minnesota State Fair, and I don't know if that's true or not. My guess is it probably is, and that, again, was stupid. But clearly that's vastly different from what Roy Moore is accused of, what President Trump, God, that's a terrible phrase, what President Trump has been accused of, very different. So the joke about being about to grope the woman while she was sleeping, again, idiotic, but not like a capital crime. Not as bad as actually touching the breasts of a 14-year-old girl over her bra, okay, and trying to get her to touch him. If not night and day, at least early morning and late afternoon would be the difference there, okay? That's one. The second thing is the accusation about forcing a kiss. Clearly that'll never be proven or disproven. But I have to tell you that I think that the accuser in that case may be important, okay? I don't know Ms. Whedon, but I know KABC Radio. Okay, I grew up in Los Angeles, and when I was there, in the initial stages at least, KABC Radio had a variety of talk show hosts on there, but it was mostly a liberal talk show station, liberal talk station. Over the years, the guy who was the host on the morning drive time, who was an Englishman from South Africa, very good, very liberal guy, happened to share a name with another child predator, Michael Jackson. But Michael Jackson was great and was on for years and years. Anyway, he got fired because after a while, the personality who was on one of the other stations, who was a nationally syndicated personality and a conservative by the name you'll recognize, Rush Limbaugh, was killing him in the ratings. That was the beginning of the conversion of KABC. Now virtually all of their hosts are very conservative. I don't know Ms. Whedon, never heard her show, but based on what I know about the station, I suspect she's a rather conservative individual politically. I believe she does a sports show, but you would not be a politically liberal person and have a talk show these days at KABC. So there may be an agenda there. Do I know this? I do not. Do I know that Franken didn't do what he was accused of doing in terms of forcing a kiss? No. But if he didn't do that, and I'd call that open, he says he doesn't remember it. That's weird, okay? Unless he was in the habit of constantly forcibly kissing women, whether on the USO tour or elsewhere, not remembering it suggests it probably didn't happen, or he believes it didn't happen. And she is making this accusation. The fact is he did do the thing with the picture, and maybe he did the thing with the butt grab at the Minnesota State Fair, but it seems peculiar that this woman is the only person with the thousands of pictures this guy took at the Minnesota State Fair. This is the only person who's accused him of grabbing her butt for a picture. And that Leanne Whedon is the only person who's accusing him of forcing himself on her, not in a rape sense, but in terms of kissing. So is he guilty of these things? Maybe. But I have to tell you, I entertain some doubts. And it's not just because I like Franken, although that's part of it. As I said, I like John Conyers' politics and admire the man. But same thing with Charlie Rose. But I would more likely, and Charlie Rose, frankly, is rather clearly guilty. That doesn't take any discernment on my part, all the women accusing him. But look again at Franken. All of the people, not all, many of the people, mostly women, who worked with him on Saturday Night Live and who have worked for him in the Senate have come out with these statements talking about how respectful he is of women, how nice he is, and all this other stuff. There's just something that doesn't wash about these two accusations, and particularly the Whedon accusation. Just food for thought for you. We talked briefly about the budget. With regard to the tax bill and with regard as well to the legislation that may expire on December 8th, which I'll share with you in a moment. I want to give out the number of the Congressional Switchboard. The Congressional Switchboard is useful even if you don't know who your representative or your senator is, because there's a means by which on the menu you can find out. They'll ask you to input your zip code. So as long as you know your zip code, you can find out who your senator is, who your senators are, I'm sorry, and who your representative is. excuse me, in case that comment wasn't clear, every state has two senators and a variety of numbers of representatives in the House, depending on how large your population is. But everybody has two senators. And the Congressional Switchboard phone number is 202-225-3121. Repeating, 202-225-3121. It's called the Congressional Switchboard. Add that number. You can first find out who your representative is, who your senators are, and then you can go to their voicemail, essentially, and leave a message for them about how you feel about legislation. Now, and by the way, when you call, please let the person know that you live, the senator or the representative or their staff member, realistically, that you live in their state, in the case of the senators, or their district. Because if you don't, they'll pay less attention to your call. They want to know you're one of their voters. Even if your senator or representative is already planning on retiring, they'll pay much more attention to you if you're one of their voters, one of their constituents anyway. You didn't have to vote for them. Okay, the Congressional Switchboard number we've given. Let me tell you the two things that are really, really important. There's actually three things that are really important: net neutrality, medical marijuana, and the tax bill. Okay? If you agree with me on general politics or on what I'm about to say, you really need to let your senators and representative know your views. And since if you're listening on Friday or the weekend, hopefully, please do it now. It's 24/7. That Congressional Switchboard is always open. Tax bill first. The tax bill does not make up for the cuts they do in taxes in terms of growth. They never do, but a number of economists, Republican and Democrat, have gone through the tax bill and said this is going to essentially blow a hole in the deficit and in the debt. While that's not terribly important in my judgment by itself, this is massive. Okay, the fact that we may have a large deficit and a large debt, as a realistic proposition, most of the time in most of our economic cycles, doesn't matter. But if you think that the deficit and debt are important, this tax bill is not your friend. But more importantly, it also, the Senate tax bill, removes the individual mandate, which is going to knock about 13 million people off their health insurance. So please let your senators and representative know that you oppose it. It also, by the way, over the 10-year period, cuts Medicare right away, and cuts Medicaid as well. So that's the tax bill. The second thing is the net neutrality. The FCC, Federal Communications Commission, has announced that they will be taking a vote to eliminate the regulations concerning net neutrality. Net neutrality, when it exists, means that your internet provider cannot determine what you see and what you don't see, what loads fast and what loads slow. To give you an example of that, if you live in an area where Comcast is your provider, Comcast owns NBC, they can go ahead and determine that everybody in their area gets NBC if they want to go ahead and look at something on NBC over the internet, that they get that quite quickly, and no problems, no hiccups, no buffering. And at the same time, they can decide that CBS, ABC, Fox, PBS, anybody else goes more slowly and hiccups and buffers, to the point that you say, essentially, to hell with this, I'm going to watch NBC because it's smoother. They, if you don't have net neutrality, they have the absolute right to do that. They would also have the right to determine what political sites you listen to, what shows you watch through the internet, everything. So net neutrality is really important. So, again, please contact your senators and your representative through the Congressional Switchboard and let them know you are in favor of net neutrality and against the FCC chair is planning on doing. Thirdly, is something most people don't know about. Here's the deal. As most of you do know, marijuana is against the law in federal law. Many states, however, have passed laws that either allow recreational marijuana or medical marijuana. And where they allow recreational marijuana, sometimes they have a separate statute that allows medical marijuana, and sometimes they just figure if you need it medically, you can buy it, period. Apologies for the noise in the background if any is being heard. Anyway, so with respect to medical marijuana, which, to be honest, I think is more important than recreational, and I have a bias there, but that said, and by the way, this really is important, whether you are in favor of marijuana or not. That's kind of, and probably most listeners to this show are, but it doesn't, are in favor of marijuana, but it doesn't matter. Medical marijuana, on the state level has been passed in, 30 states. And what's happened is, several years ago, legislation that was initiated by Dana Rohrabacher, who is an Orange County, California congressional representative, says that the Justice Department shall use none of the funds which they are appropriated to enforce federal law in those states where medical marijuana has been legalized. In other words, the feds, through the Justice Department, can't come into Arizona, where I am, or any other state that does have medical marijuana, and go bust the dispensaries or arrest the people who are getting medical marijuana. They are barred from doing so. They haven't changed the federal law about it being illegal on a federal law basis, but the Congress has passed legislation that says the Justice Department can't enforce it against those states where, against any one of those states where medical marijuana has been legalized. Okay. So that legislation, by its terms, has to be renewed every year. Congress has not renewed it yet. If they don't renew it by December 8th, then the Justice Department can come into your dispensary or your home and start making arrests, assuming they have a warrant to come into your home. But if they are aware that you're using it, they can come after you in the medical marijuana state if that legislation, the Rohrabacher legislation, is not renewed. December 8th is a critical date. I'll be reminding you about this again next week. And please tell your friends, for you and them, to call the Congressional Switchboard on those three pieces of legislation, or any of those that you agree with me on. Although, to tell you the truth, you can call even if you don't agree. Anyway, the Congressional Switchboard is 202-225-3121. And even if you're not planning on calling this time, and I hope you are, you got to write that down for something that comes up that I may not know about and may not remind you about. So 225-3121 is the Congressional Switchboard, okay? Okay. I talked to you about Al Franken and Charlie Rose and all those people. The Roy Moore thing is really interesting. For a long time, Trump would not endorse Moore and would not say don't vote for Moore, but Kellyanne Conway, his staff member, and one of the people who ran his campaign said, no child is worth a Senate seat. And I think we would all agree with that, well, at least unless you're in the Senate. But no child is worth a Senate seat. Then she came out saying, however, we ought to elect Roy Moore because we need a Republican vote there to pass our tax bill and do a bunch of other things. So there was this, and then, of course, Trump came out with the same BS dialogue about Doug Jones, the opponent of Roy Moore, being bad for crime and bad on borders and bad on the tax bill. Well, he is going to be bad on the tax bill, but all of that. So for what it's worth, Trump now has endorsed Moore, and that says volumes about Donald Trump, but it really should not come as much of a surprise because after all said and done, Trump's own accusations about sexual abuse being what they were, it's not surprising that his defense of Moore is he denies it. Well, if he denies it, obviously it's not true, right? Okay. We talked about Michael Flynn at the beginning of the show. I want to mention that again now because, excuse me, a number of you probably did not live through the Watergate period. I did. Because I'm old. and during the Watergate period, there with things going on in terms of the accusations against Nixon, and evidence was coming out and all kinds of things. But there were a couple of things that happened that really were serious turning points. One was where one of Nixon's aides talked about the recording mechanism that was set up in the White House and in the Oval Office. That was a big deal because it was after that that the courts and Congress, Congress started demanding the tapes. And it ultimately ended up in a lawsuit by Congress against Nixon, which he lost and went before the Supreme Court. It was a unanimous decision, as a matter of fact. The other turning point was where John Dean testified before Congress. John Dean was the counsel to the president, and he testified about the wrongdoing of Haldeman and Ehrlichman and John Mitchell, and talked about how he had told Nixon there was a cancer on the presidency. Well, when John Dean went in to testify, that was the beginning of the house of cards falling. Now, Michael Flynn has not testified, but the fact that it appears he's now cooperating with Mueller, goodbye, Mr. Trump. It's a question of time. There's a lot more that's going to happen between now and then. As I said to our caller, Ed, there's, you know, I think it's going to be a while before Trump goes, but go he will. By the way, now let me re-invite you to call in, as Ed did. And if you wish to call in and suggest a guest for the future, for a future program, or just want to talk about something we've talked about or something we haven't, feel free to do that. 646-668-2953. And additionally, if you'd like to tell me how you spent Thanksgiving, I'd be interested in hearing that. Our family consists of vegetarians, so as you might have guessed, we didn't do a turkey. Okay. I'd like to talk to you now about this week in history. Actually, it's been a very interesting week historically. Today, while we're doing the show, it's November 24th, the day after Thanksgiving. And we can talk about what else has happened during this week in previous years. For one thing, bear with me one second, let's look at November 19th. And by the way, when we do this week in history, we don't just talk about the items and then just move on. Usually there'll be a little bit of additional narrative. But initially, interestingly, November 19th was a date on which a lot of rather well-known people were born in terms of birthdays. So their birthdays are history, of course. We have another more interesting day, I think, in history coming up after the 19th, but we'll get to that. Hopefully, we have 26, almost 27 minutes left to the program. On November 19th, 1831, James Garfield was born. He was the 20th president of the United States, and he was assassinated. I'm trying to remember the year. I think it must have been, that would have had to have been, I think, 1880. That is, I think he was elected in 1880 and would have been killed in 1881. On his death, Chester Arthur became president. James Garfield recently had a, when I say had a biography written about him, that's a rather tortured sentence. What I meant by that is a biography was recently done of James Garfield, and apparently he was this, like, really sterling guy. And had he been able to serve a full term, might have helped, might have helped the country greatly. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I was looking at something else. Totally different field. On November 19th in 1905, that was the birthday of Tommy Dorsey, who was a band leader, and he was the brother of Jimmy Dorsey. And it was Tommy Dorsey who effectively gave Frank Sinatra his big career boost. Sinatra had been with Harry James before Tommy Dorsey, but went with Tommy Dorsey and got a lot more exposure. Not as much as he got with Ava Gardner, but that's a whole other story. On November 19th, 1917, that was the birth of Indira Gandhi, who was the Prime Minister of India. She served two different terms, 1966 to 67 and 1980 to 84. She was assassinated, by the way. that's how her second term ended. This was after she had taken upon herself, I guess what you would call dictatorial power. And Also, on November 19th, two famous talk show hosts were born, different years. In 1933, it was Larry King, which would make him 84, I guess. And then in 1936, 3 years younger, was Dick Cavett. I believe there are probably people who don't know who Dick Cavett is, but Dick Cavett was originally a writer for Johnny Carson. Actually, he was originally a writer for Jack Parr. I would venture a guess almost nobody remembers Jack Parr. When he went off the air as the host of The Tonight Show, I was a child, so unless you're older than I am, or at least my age, you won't remember Jack Parr particularly well. But he was quite a phenomenon, and as was his sidekick, his Ed McMahon, was Hugh Downs, who is still living, and has logged more hours on television than any other human. Partly because of that, and he was also the host of the Today Show, and he was the first host of the game show Concentration. It's amazing, all these connections, right? Also, on November 19th in 1938 was the day of birth for Ted Turner, the creator of CNN, among other things. And in terms of actors, actresses if you prefer, November 19th, 1961 and 62 were the birthdays respectively of Meg Ryan, famous for When Harry Met Sally, among other films, and Jodie Foster, who's famous for a lot of movies, including Taxi Driver, and was the object of distant affection of John Hinckley when he shot Ron Reagan. On November 19th, 1916, there was a creation that has since become rather well known. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer was formed by Samuel Goldfish and Edgar Selwyn. The interesting story was known as Metro Goldwyn-Mayer, okay? And there was, after a while, when, Selwyn left, Goldfish changed his name to Goldwyn, so it would look like he was one of the principals or the only principal of the company. And he gave a start to a lot of rather well-known actors. Let's see, also on November 19th, famous for another reason, not a day of birth, or the creation of a studio. November 19th in 1863, yeah, 1863 was the delivery of the Gettysburg Address. When I was living in California, there was a savings and loan. Remember savings and loans? Anyway, there was a savings and loan called Lincoln Savings, and they had offices all over the place, and one of the commercials was, "You've heard of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Have you heard of Lincoln's Los Angeles Address or Lincoln's Granada Hills Address," or whatever it was, and that's how they would advertise the savings and loans. Silly stuff. November 20th, 1925. November 20th, 1925 was the birth of Robert Kennedy. A book has come out recently, which I've not yet read, that was written by Chris Matthews of MSNBC. And, in that book he talks about Robert Kennedy's life, including the assassination. And he disagrees with a number of us in terms of Senator Kennedy's death. In the sense that he believes that Sirhan Sirhan acted alone. Okay, we'll talk about assassinations in a few weeks with Larry Hancock. So join it. By the way, that is December 15th, as I believe I mentioned. December 1st, we're going to be talking about marijuana with the guest refers to herself as, that's Jennifer Bochy. She refers to herself as Ganja Girl and has a website, and we'll talk about that when she's on. Anyway, November 20th birthdays include Richard Dawson, who used to be on Family Feud. He was the original host, and he was also on Hogan's Heroes, Laugh-In, and a number of other things. I remember when he was on a TV show called Stump the Stars, which was like a pantomime show, charades. Very funny man. Also, on November 20th, 1939, the younger of the Smothers brothers, Dick Smothers, often referred to by Tom as Little Dickie Smothers, November 20th was also the day of the wedding in 1947 between then Princess, now Queen, Elizabeth, and Prince Philip. Philip, by the way, had been a prince of Greece and Denmark. I don't know how that worked. Probably like, what's his name, the senator from Massachusetts who wanted to be senator from New Hampshire. But anyway, Prince Philip had been a prince of both of those countries, and he renounced his titles so he could marry Elizabeth, and he became, of course, Prince of England. Queen Elizabeth was heard to say in later years, "Here, Prince, here, Prince." Anyway, also November 20th in 1945, the Nuremberg Trials, let me try that sentence again, the Nuremberg Trials began. The Nuremberg Trials were the trials of the Nazis in Germany and elsewhere, but principally Germany. They were tried essentially for war crimes, and that had really never been done before. The Nuremberg Trials in 1945 were created for that purpose, so that they could be punished. And as I said, that's the first time that had ever been done. Also, the person who led the Nuremberg Trials, by the way, there's an old movie you might be able to catch somewhere, like a YouTube or something else, called Judgment at Nuremberg, in which the head of the court, the chief judge, is played by Spencer Tracy. It was really a good movie. And if you remember Maximilian Schell, he played an important part in that film. But the person who actually headed the court, the Nuremberg court, was a U.S. Supreme Court Justice, Robert Jackson. Prior to that, he had been Attorney General, but he had been appointed by Roosevelt to the Supreme Court. November 21st, in 1806, Napoleon began a blockade of Britain to limit their trade with other countries in order to make France prevail. It didn't work, by the way. The entry in the book that we're looking at with regard to England says that the object of Napoleon's blockade was to strike a blow at Great Britain's supremacy by cutting off all intercourse with the continent of Europe. If that's what he intended, that was really cruel. You know what I mean? Okay. Also on November 21st in 1877, again, that's this week, November 21st was, Thomas Edison announced the invention of the phonograph. He was trying, by the way, to find a way to record telephone calls, but he couldn't find a way to make the little beep every 60 seconds. In any event, he figured out the phonograph and announced it on November 21st, 1877. The only problem was records hadn't been invented yet, so they didn't have a whole lot to play. Also, November 21st, 1938, that was the day that the Nazis occupied Western Czechoslovakia and declared its citizens to be German citizens. You may remember the name. It's not in our notes, but that was actually referred to as Sudetenland by the Nazis, by Hitler specifically. excuse me. And that it was after that that Neville Chamberlain met with Hitler, and when Hitler said he was going to stop at taking that portion of Czechoslovakia, by the way, his pretext was that many of the people who lived in that portion of Czechoslovakia were ethnically German, and therefore this was very similar to Putin with the eastern portion of the Ukraine, Crimea. But that was Hitler in 1938, Sudetenland, on November 21st. The Freedom of Information Act was passed over President Ford's veto on November 21st, 1974. Speaking of birthdays, and one of these may flip you out. It did me. On November 21st, 1938, that was the birthday of Marlo Thomas. The reason that kind of flipped me out is because that means, let me think of this for a minute. In 2008, this makes her 79 years old. So, and I just didn't think she was that old. I remember when her father was alive and performing. So it just, you know, is kind of odd that she's that old. But I guess everybody gets there unless they die. On November 1st, 1945, that was the day that Goldie Hawn was born. So in terms of astrology, I don't know what Goldie Hawn and Marlo Thomas have in common, but there you have it. November 22nd. Okay, the big one. We did this was just 2 days ago this year, but November 22nd, 1963, was the assassination of John F. Kennedy. In case we have foreign listeners who don't know, he was president of the United States, having been elected in November of 60. That day, many of the people who are alive today are obviously not going to remember because they were either way too young or they weren't born yet. the fact is, that was a major day in the country's history, as was Lincoln's assassination and other events. But that also began a series. Well, it didn't actually begin a series. It was the second in the series. I'm pretty sure Medgar Evers was killed first. But Kennedy was killed in November. And at the risk of saying something that I can't prove, it was fairly clearly as a result of a conspiracy. Lots of establishment people disagree with that, but the evidence seems pretty clear that there was more than one person involved in that murder. Lyndon Johnson believed that the people who killed Kennedy were Vietnamese. There's no evidence for that, but what happened was prior to Kennedy's being assassinated, the administration had approved a coup against the South Vietnamese leadership led by a guy named Diem, and his sister-in-law was a spokesperson for that South Vietnamese administration, and she was a real prize. Her name was Madame Nu. It was while she was in this country that the coup took place, and the story is that Kennedy said, listen, we're not going to fight against the coup. You guys go ahead, the generals who wanted to undertake the coup, and we would prefer that you not kill Mr. Diem and his brother and the rest of the people in the administration, but you can certainly overthrow them. But if you do kill them, we're not going to raise a major objection, which was a way of saying it's okay if you kill them. And Johnson thought that because of that, and of course they were killed, the Vietnamese were retaliating. Okay, and then of course there was the wonderful work of fiction known as the Warren Commission Report. Also on November 22nd in 1975, King Juan Carlos was sworn in as King of Spain after the death of Francisco Franco, and it went into a democracy. It became a democracy, a parliamentary democracy. Reason I mention that in part is because it was Franco's lingering illness and ultimate death that led to the first or second Saturday Night Live episode, which was in that year, having Chevy Chase, who was doing the news report, saying, Francisco Franco is still dead. That's where that comes from. It was a lingering illness, and, then he finally did die. In 1972, on November 22nd, the travel ban to China was lifted by Richard Nixon. And in terms of birthdays, by the way, we have 11 minutes left. If you want to make a quick call in, you're welcome to. But birthdays on November 22nd in 1890 included Charles de Gaulle, who was president of France from 1959 to 1969. And he was president of what they call the Fifth Republic, which is still the governmental system that they have in France. In 1899, on November 22nd, was the birth of Hoagie Carmichael, who, among other hits, wrote Stardust. And he also, by the way, recorded several songs of his own creation. And he was a really good songwriter, and as a singer, he was a really good songwriter. In 1921, on November 22nd, was born the man who later became known as Rodney Dangerfield. I don't remember what his real name was, but it wasn't Rodney Dangerfield. In 1932, on November 22nd, that was the day of birth for Robert Vaughn, who, among other things, was known as the Man from U.N.C.L.E. in the TV series of that name. I don't know if Robert Vaughn is still living. I know he's old, but obviously, if he was born in, what year did I say, 1932, he's not a kid. He's got to be, what, 02 would have been 70, so 12 would have been 80. So he's about 85 years old. Notice how we do this brilliant math without even thinking about it. Anyway, also born on November 22nd in 1943 was Billie Jean King. And that's it for November 22nd. Let's just real quickly move on to November 23rd and 24th. I'll do very quickly. November 23rd in 1906, Joseph Smith was convicted of polygamy. Joseph Smith was the leader of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, also known as the Mormons. He was convicted of polygamy, according to a news report at the time. He entered a plea of guilty, was fined $300, and was dismissed. Apparently, they didn't consider it that terribly serious at the time, although $300 in 1906 was a good chunk of change. In 1804, on November 23rd, was born Franklin Pierce. Now, I'm guessing a lot of people listening to this don't know who Franklin Pierce was, but Franklin Pierce was the 14th president of the United States, folks. Two other birthdays on November 23rd, you'll understand why I'm doing those in a moment. The first one was Boris Karloff, who played in Frankenstein, and he played, I believe he played Dr. Frankenstein, not the monster, but I could be wrong. Boris Karloff. He also later hosted an anthology horror series on television. I don't remember what it was called. Also born on November 23rd, but in 1888, a year later, was Harpo Marx. Here's my imitation of Harpo Marx. God, that was good, huh? Okay, that's it for November 23rd. For those of you who don't know, Harpo Marx played a mute in the Marx Brothers movies. I don't know if that's the correct term anymore. November 24th, 1888, was Dale Carnegie. For those who don't know, he wrote, among other books, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And by the way, I read that for the second time just a few years ago on the recommendation of a friend of mine. And that is, I read it initially on the recommendation of a friend of mine a number of years ago. And I just reread it. You know, that thing still holds true. There is just a lot of merit to that, even all these years later. Also born on November 24th, 1853, was Bat Masterson. There was a TV series about Bat Masterson, broadly fictionalized, starring Gene Barry. And I hate to say this, but the other day when I was walking the puppy outside, I began to sing the theme to the TV show Bat Masterson, which I won't do now. But let it suffice to say that I remembered most of it, and I was embarrassed by the fact that I did. Also, on November 24th in 1977, the tomb of King Philip II was found in Greece. It was a terrible mess, apparently. But Philip II was the father of Alexander the Great. Anyway, I think we've done enough of This Week in History to bore me, so it must be boring you at this point. Anyway, we're going to end in a few minutes, but I wanted to just say, if you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, drop me a note and tell me what you didn't like about it. You can do that at tjbradio@gmail.com. T as in Tom, J as in Jeff, B as in Bushman, tjbradio@gmail.com. And if you could also write to us there to tell us about subjects you'd like us to cover or guests you'd like to suggest, if you wish. I promised you I'd mention it one more time. I mention it now. Patreon.com/Jeff Bushman. Jeff Bushman is one word. That's the place where if you like the show and wish to support it, you can do that. That's patreon.com/Jeff Bushman. Enough said about that. As I said, next week, December 1st, we're going to have Jennifer Carbocci. December 15th, Larry Hancock, and more guests are being lined up. So, hope you enjoyed this one. As you may be able to tell, my voice is extremely tired, so we're not going to go the full hour. I'm going to end about 5 minutes early. But thank you for joining us. Again, if you're listening into the podcast version, we are live on Friday nights at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 9 o'clock East, 6 o'clock West, and that's basically it. If you are listening live and you missed part of the show, the converse is also true, and it's also a good pair of shoes. You can listen to our podcast, the pre-recorded episodes, at and again, I don't know where you're listening necessarily either, but blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. Bushman. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Jeff-Bushman. And that is how you can listen to our podcast. And I hope you do. Thanks again very much. I know you're going away, but please be kind to each other between now and next Friday. And whatever you do that you're going away, don't go away mad. Let's see, right now it is coming up on 8 o'clock Mountain, which means 11 o'clock. No, it isn't. It means 10 o'clock on the East Coast. But in a couple of hours, it'll be after midnight. Everybody.